Good afternoon. This is Tanya Schultz with Social Chats Locals. I am live streaming with my co-host, Maria de Los Angeles, also known as Vice Queen Maria. Hey, Maria.
Hi, Tanya. How are you?
I am doing good. I was just telling you, I have doctors in town, so I'm just trying to balance. So, I'm excited about today's guest. I love fishing. We keep saying we're going to do a fishing trip together.
We definitely do. That has to be on our bucket list.
Yes, that's a definite bucket list right there.
And look at where we live. It's not going to be that hard to plan.
I know. And we have no excuse for not doing it.
We can fish in like a canal behind your house.
Yeah, I know, right? But the Isla Mirada of Key West is, my God, the fishing is incredible in Key West.
It is definitely a huge fishing destination, especially for inshore fishing and reef fishing.
Well, I've been fishing down there once, but my favorite thing I've ever done was I had a friend, her boyfriend had a place down there. And he was on one of the canals, and then it would go out into the ocean. But he took me to somewhere, and at that time I've always been to fishing. I mean, that's the way I was raised. But I got into snorkeling, not the kind with the whole gear or anything. It's just more of just floating and then going down, checking out the sands and everything, and looking for shells. Isla Mirada is a phenomenal place to do that too. And there's so much history down there too. So it's one of my favorite trip that I spent in Key West. Went there for 4 days with some girlfriends, and we just kind of like hung out and went fishing and sat outside and went scuba diving. So my friend scuba dive. I just floated around, look at all the different shells and fish, and it brings you back to nature.
Yes, for sure. I started doing a lot more fishing before I started snorkeling.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I was always a little apprehensive to go in the water because I already understood fish behavior.
Yeah.
And but my first snorkeling experience was in St. Lucia in the Caribbean.
Wow.
And it was in this beach with the dark volcanic sand. Uh-huh. So the water was a little murky until you kind of got out of the beach area. And it's really funny, but this really small, skinny island guy had to hold my hand and swim with me because I was hyperventilating.
I love it.
So I finally started doing my yoga breathing into the snorkel, and then you couldn't get me out of the water.
Didn't it make you feel refreshing, though?
I see a pregnant woman snorkel next to me, and I just was laughing at myself. I was like, Maria, you're so ridiculous. What are you afraid of?
Yeah, really. I wonder what people are afraid about the fish, about going in the water like that. I love it. I think it's really good for you, spiritually and physically,
yeah.
But spiritually, it makes you feel so alive.
Yeah. When I went to a different island, I think it was St. John, and they mm-hmm. have this, there's a state park there, but you can snorkel around, like a little museum, and they have stuff underwater that you can look at.
Aww.
Like, this kind of coral, this is that kind of coral. It's a little sign.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of snorkeling 101, baby snorkeling. So, anyway, when I spent so much time in the water that when I got out, I had major sea legs.
Oh, my God.
And I couldn't stand straight for, like, a day or two. But
really?
The rum helped.
But that is so good for you, too. That's what I miss about not being in the ocean. Like I used to, when I lived in Deerfield Beach, I would get up before I go to work at Sixth Avenue back then, and I'd throw myself into the ocean just to see what happens. At 8:30 in the morning, I'd go and, because I had to be at work at 11. So I'd throw myself in the ocean, and it gives you such a great attitude about life in general. So
there's something definitely very cleansing about being in or around water.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't put your body in it, I have to go on my walks and I have to go by the bay
mm-hmm.
because I have to see the water. It's almost like it pulls me. And I sometimes prefer that to a yoga practice. And a deep walk.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so very good, but I'm breathing in this pure ocean air.
Yeah.
And it's really good for you.
Well, I think anything to do with the ocean, and if I just jump in any water and just, you know, practice breathing, and even if I don't move, I felt like I had a good workout when I get out of the water. Everything is so refreshing, and I feel so alive. So I think that, you know, everyone should do that. I mean, it's unfortunate that as time goes by, a lot of the sea life are getting destroyed by a lot of man-made disasters. I mean, could you imagine what has happened out by the Gulf of Mexico because of the, you know, BP mess and all that? But, you know, that's why, you know, right now I think, you know, all of us living down in South Florida, we should really take some time and go out and experience some of what we have to offer. And, you know, I need to really start focusing on that too myself, because I can sit here and talk about it. But I have, you know, I have to, like yourself, we both have experienced, you know, how great it is to live down in South Florida, especially going down to the Keys and checking out the ocean and fishing and doing all that fun stuff. And that's why I'm excited about having Betty on, because, you know, she was on our show before. Wasn't she on, like, sometime last year? Didn't we have Betty on from Ladies Let's Go Fishing?
I don't think we have.
Or did we talk about it? I thought we did.
We talked about it.
Yeah.
We've been talking about it because I knew that I was going to do it.
Okay.
But, we haven't had her on.
We haven't had her on? Oh, good. Because I know we've been talking about it, and this is their second fishing trip to Isla Mirada, right?
Mine or?
No, theirs.
I mean,
because Betty Bauman's organization.
She's been doing these programs for a long time.
Okay.
It says here 1997.
Mm-hmm.
And Ladies Let's Go Fishing has over 5,000 graduates, and it's the largest organization in the world whose objective is to introduce women to fishing.
Wow. And it's a real women's fishing university.
Yes.
Awesome. But what a great way to get away, though.
I think so, and this year it's taking place at Holiday Isle, which mm-hmm. is a very nice resort. It's currently being remodeled, but they promised that it's all going to be all good by November.
Mm-hmm.
And it has one of my favorite tiki bars, Rum Runners, which is a really great place to spend an afternoon.
Yeah, I've been there.
So laid back and casual, and just looking over the Atlantic Ocean. I mean, you can't really go wrong with that.
Isn't this where that's
the part of the Keys where the water really starts to turn tropical, and it looks just like turquoise and blue and pale. I mean, all those beautiful shades of blue that you see in the tropics, you can already see there.
I'm on the page for the event page for the upcoming seminar.
Yes.
And it's pretty interesting. They're going to have a fishing fashion show. And you'll be going, aren't you?
I am. That's why we're doing this. Trying to give them a little help to promote it, because I think it's a really great chance for women to experience the outdoors
mm-hmm.
and to learn these techniques, which I know I've learned them. Because I was in a relationship where we went fishing almost every weekend.
Wow.
And for almost 6 years, from a canoe and then from a flatboat. And I know the Everglades very well, and the Biscayne Bay as well. I used to be the chart reader. So, even so, there's still certain things that I just want to start over and practice from scratch. And I mean, like tying knots is something that I never really learned very well.
Uh-huh.
And if my ex-boyfriend is listening to this radio show right now, he's probably laughing.
Why? Because were you a tough student?
If you don't know how to tie knots, you know, forget it. I could have a fishing rod right now and just go to the park and cast. But if my line breaks, how do I put it back on? So that's very important. I hope maybe learn some of that for the weekend during the seminar.
You know what I like about their, and I was on their website too. It was really neat because they had videos and stuff, but I mean, this is like you said, they've been doing it quite a bit. There's a whole bunch of women. The pictures that they have were really interesting. I think it's fun.
Hold on. You should come, Tanya.
I know, I'm almost tucked in now.
Do you think Scotty will let you go for the weekend?
Without giving me a hard time? No. I would go if I wasn't, like, if I was single, I would go. But I don't know. I have to talk to him. Because I think that's fun.
I'm sure there's going to be lots of married or taken ladies at this event.
So. Oh, no. I'm sure most
like
Well, men do it. Why can't women do it? I think most of the women out there, they'd be ready to go.
Well, and one of the things that I'm hoping to do during this weekend is not to learn things about fishing that I can apply to my own fishing practice, but to connect with other women who like to fish that, you know, there's power in numbers. It's expensive to charter, especially a private charter.
Yeah.
So if a bunch of us get together, you know, then we can all pitch in and charter a day trip or something.
Well, I know some guys who have boats, but they just, they want me to, like, get a bunch of people together before they even commit to it.
Yeah.
And but see, Scotty knows about charter because they don't do it anymore, but about years ago, they used to. Hold on a second, okay? Tanya and Maria speaking. We're on the air with Social Chats.
Hi, Betty.
Hi, Betty. How are you? Can you hear us?
Betty, you're coming and it's a little broken up. We'll call. Okay. Can you hear her, Tanya?
No, it's broken up. Do you want us to call you back, Betty? No, I can't hear.
Do you want to try from your other phone? Talk back from the other
line. Okay, I think she's going to call us back from the other line. I think she's going to call us back from the other line.
I think she said she was going to try to call from the cable line.
Mm-hmm. Oh, here we go. Betty? Hello?
Hi, it's Betty.
Oh, much better. How are you, Betty?
Good, just working away, getting ready for the Island Rock the seminar in Keys that's coming up.
What? Well, we're going to promote it. I think it's exciting. That's awesome, actually.
Yeah, it's something nice for the ladies. You know, a lot of the ladies sometimes get sort of left behind when it comes to fishing because they don't know what to do, and it's a burden on the people taking them to spend all their time showing them what to do. So, you know, people taking them fishing do everything for them, and the ladies, you know, just take orders. And a lot of them want to know, you know, the strategy about fishing and why am I doing what I'm doing instead of just do this, do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I'm the kind of person that goes fishing that just, I really don't know what I'm doing. I just do whatever people tell me to do.
Right, right. And what we try to do is give them some mental freedom and some confidence in what they're doing, you know, because if they can, like, put their own hook on, or if they're not line breaks and they can tie it back on and maybe learn how to put the bait or the lure on, you know, and know, you know, how far to cast and that type of thing and then what to do when they have a fish on, you know, it's really a more fulfilling experience for them and gets them all, you know, excited about something new to do.
Oh.
So Betty, can you tell our listeners how you got into this?
Yeah, I always liked to fish as a child, and it was kind of funny because we only had, like, you know, one rod and reel, and so my brother always got it. So I had to use a tree limb, you know, and tie a bobber, you know, freshwater fishing in Pennsylvania, but I always liked it. And I came down to Florida, and I got a marketing job at Wellcraft Marine that makes boats. And as part of my job, they would send me out, you know, for fishing tournaments. And I think my first offshore fishing experience was with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah, with Michael Webster and Gary Dunn. And intimidating? Yeah, kind of, you know. Thankfully, they were very friendly and showed me what to do. But I realized that there was, you know, a lot to saltwater fishing. And I needed to learn, but it all happens offshore. You know, how do you learn? You can't, you know, just, it's hard to go, like, into a tackle shop and ask them what to do. So after that experience, you know, I went on, started my own company as, you know, marketing and events, Metro Media Marketing, and did a lot of tournament magazines for fishing tournaments. And then I met my husband, who who was, you know, a really experienced angler, but found, you know, we had some interpersonal things going on because he would tell me to do things that he felt were really simple, mm-hmm. but I didn't know what he was talking about. It was like he might as well have been speaking Swahili. So I thought, well, you know, there's got to be a lot of other ladies in my situation that, you know, they want to do it and they want to do it right and be a part of the team, but didn't have a chance to, like, practice everything before they got on the boat. So, you know, my theory is, wow, if there was a school where, you know, I could sit down and learn in classes, learn the terminology, the strategy, you know, what is Tom Test and all that stuff, and then have a chance to practice some of these things, like, mm-hmm. you know, how do you gaff a fish, you know, best way to cast, even trailer backing, that's, like, really scary, intimidating, you know, before I got to fish, and then had a chance to actually fish, to try it on the water. And then throw in, you know, some of the networking things so I could, you know, go to a cocktail party, meet the other ladies, have some fun. So that would be a fun weekend. So I invented that, I think it was back in 1997. And I got the state involved, the Fish and Wildlife, Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, because they thought, wow, what a great opportunity to teach ladies about conservation, you know, when they're learning and impressionable, and make, you know, good marine steward resources, marine resource, you know what I mean. Anyway, and that's where the program started. And now, like 2011, we've got like more than 6,000 graduates.
Wow.
That's a great story. Yeah, so we do them, like, they take a lot of work. So we do like 4 a year. And then we take them to 4 different cities, and we usually rent facilities and, like, waterfront resorts, so we're close to the water, and we're close to the fishing and all that. We do one in Isla Mirada. It's November 11th to the 13th. And then next year I have the dates on the website, but we do Southwest Florida, which is inshore fishing, in March, and then Fort Lauderdale, which is mostly offshore fishing. That's the South Florida one. That's in April. And then Stewart up in the Treasure Coast will be in May.
Wow. You'll be up here soon. Well, next year, I mean. Oh, okay. But the Isla Mirada one sounds exciting. Especially this time of year, too, in November.
Yeah, you know, we've got ladies coming from California, Canada. There are a couple of ladies coming from the Boston Globe. I think it's a mother-daughter team. Mm-hmm. They're coming from Boston, so Boston Globe wrote something about it. You know, they come to Florida because, you know, we bring all the equipment, mm-hmm. you know, a full U-Haul full of equipment, you know, a boat, a trailer, have a great silent auction, you know, so they can win and get deals on fishing trips and things like that. So they come from all over the place, really, for these seminars. But the one of the keys is nice because people come from, you know, other climates, and the keys in November is just perfect. You know, the weather's usually just nice, not too hot, not too cold.
No hurricane. There should be no hurricane at all, right? Because it ends up October.
Well, let's hope not. We've been doing pretty good at dodging hurricanes. We try not to have a seminar during hurricane season.
Yeah.
Or like in the heat of winter, well, I should say in the cold of winter, you know, because it can mm-hmm. be really nippy out there if it's like 40 degrees.
Well, the fishing won't be very good.
Yeah. And what's cool about this program, too, is that I don't teach it all myself. You know, I'm the event planner. Mm-hmm. I do teach one part, which is stand-up fish fighting techniques, mm-hmm. and that's how you can leverage your hips and your legs and your arms to bring in a fish that might be twice your size. I involve a lot of the best charter captains and fishing guides from these local areas to come in and share their ideas because they know what's biting, they know where they are, and fishing has a different style in each of the parts of Florida. You use different equipment, different baits, different lures.
Mm-hmm. And I know that on the third day of the event, everyone has the option to choose a fishing trip, right?
Right.
You have inshore fishing, offshore, and then just reef fishing, like for snapper and this kind of thing.
Right. It depends what the kind of fishing is, where we were at. But I try to give the ladies a choice. So, you know, we've got party boat. That's usually a little bit less time and less budget. That's the lowest budget. And then the offshore boats, those are the sport fishing boats that take like 6. A lot of ladies want to go out and they want to catch, you know, tuna, dolphin. And I've seen them release sailfish. I had a lady come down to Alameda from Ohio, never fished before. Her first time out, she releases a sailfish.
Wow.
It takes some people 10 years to learn how to do that. And then I have, in certain areas, you know, the smaller inshore fishing boats, which are good for ladies that get seasick. Or ladies that want to have like more hands-on, because it's like two or three on the boat and one captain, and you're casting a lot. I mean, you're just doing a lot more yourself.
I'm excited.
I'm very excited because I'm going to have the opportunity to go on one of those inshore boats. Not because I get seasick, but because that's the kind of fishing that I used to do, and it requires a lot of finesse and it's a little more active. In terms of casting, you know, I don't know what he's going to have us do, but I like it because you're around the mangroves and it's like you're really involved with nature. Even if you don't catch anything, it's just so wonderful to be out there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And what I like is you see so much. I mean, last time we were fishing inshore, we saw like a big flock of beautiful pink spoonbills, big pink birds. I mean, beautiful, you know, and we saw manatees and the dolphins were following our wakes like for quite some time and giving us quite a show. And, that's what's cool about inshore. Offshore, you know, it depends, you know, some of these ladies in the Keys will be treated to kite fishing.
Ooh.
And that's when you fly a kite and you run the line up to the kite. It goes into a clip, goes down to the water, and then you put the bait is in the water. And when the fish bites, it snaps the line out of the clip. And then you have to reel like crazy to retrieve, you know, all that extra line. And the bite happens right on the surface. So you see a lot of splashing around and jumping, especially if it's a sailfish or a dolphin. It's a lot of fun. And that's, you know, that's a South Florida specialty. And other people may go trolling. Trolling is, it's nice. It's really fun when the fish bite. But when the fish aren't biting, you don't do much. You know, the rods are in the rod holders and, you know, basically the boat is doing the work. But that's a great time to ask questions and, you know, get to know the other people on the boat, look for birds and signs of fish and, you know, just enjoy the scenery.
How many women come to these seminars on average?
Yeah.
Depends to the area and how big the facility can accommodate, but, normally it's about 40, 50 or 60.
Wow.
And, you know, we've been able to accommodate at the IGFA up to 160. But right now, you know, people are, some people are staying more close to home. So, we're happy with, you know, anywhere between 40 and 60. And then I have like 15 people helping out. So really that adds up to like 250, 300 ladies a year who didn't know how to fish or needed to get better, because we also offer advanced. That's for ladies that are already fishing. Saturday morning, what we do is we put them in a separate room, and the instructor can go straight to technique. So instead of describing this is a lure and this is how you do it, they just go straight to this is how we do it.
Tell me something. I'm looking at all the different sponsors that you've had in the past and present. So you have events. You have one in Fort Lauderdale, and then hold on a second. I'm on the site right now. So you have different ones. So what are the sponsors do? Do they donate stuff or?
Yeah. A lot of them, you know, they basically support the program because they know that the fishing market is flat right now.
Yeah.
And they need new participants to be out there buying tackle and boats. Mm-hmm. For the future of the sport. And that's why they support Ladies Let's Go Fishing, because that's what we do, and they're hoping that when the ladies go to purchase, that they'll purchase their equipment. So sometimes they'll donate, you know, some money, because this is a very expensive program to put together.
Uh-huh.
A lot of times it's equipment, and then what we do with that is either use it in the seminar or we put it on the silent auction.
Okay.
So it ends up in the hands of the ladies, and wide variety, everything from fillet tables to trolling motors to lures to tackle boxes. I mean, we get some really cool stuff sometime, you know, new
mm-hmm.
products on the market that are just being launched, cast nets, landing nets, and, you know, they, they're showing, they're making a statement that, you know, fishing is a sport women are welcome.
No, I just was wondering because I don't see any scent products.
I'm sorry?
I don't see any scent products. I'm just kind of curious if I can ask you about that.
How can they send products?
No, sun, like, you know, sun, like sunblock.
Sunscreen.
Sunscreens.
Oh, sunscreen?
Yeah.
Okay, because I didn't hear you totally, but...
Oh, no, sorry.
Yeah, we do get sunscreen from time to time, and some interesting sunscreen, too. Like, we got some sunscreen from Dry Grip, for instance, and it goes on as a lotion, and it dries to powder.
Wow.
So your skin is, like, nice and smooth, but not sticky.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also... bait proof. So if you put your hand in the bait well to pick up a bait, it won't kill the other baits. There's some other sunscreen that one time we were fishing in Chokoloskee and I reached into the bait well and to get a bait and I killed 200 baits in the course of, they all died within like 20 minutes. Talk about yelling. Yeah, I got yelled at.
Well, I didn't even know that happened.
How was I supposed to know, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, who knew that? I didn't know that.
Well, I learned the hard way.
Wow.
I always wear gloves so that I don't even have to put water with the sunscreen. Yeah, I see a lot of people wearing fishing gloves, you know, to keep themselves. There's a lot of things out there that keep the sun off. But and then we have other people like you know, we got Mercury for the outboard, Ranger for the boat, Hummingbird, like electronics. They can be kind of unwieldy. A lot of people, you know, there's such a learning curve. They're afraid of electronics, but you need to know those, how to work them to get to where you're going and come back. You know, in Gulfstream, we get tickets to the Bahamas. That gets on the auction. Magic Tilt, they send the guy that shows how to back the trailer, and he teaches you things so that, like, if you get, like, really nervous, you can remember the things that he says. And we've got the trolling motor. We've got Powerpool. They make, like, a cricket-type anchor that works with a TV clicker.
Mm-hmm.
You just push the clicker and it slides right down to the bottom of the water and holds your boat. And
then
we have some, you know, resorts like Treasure Key. Tigris does all kinds of like metal, like fishing pole holders and just amazing things. And then we have Hook and Tackle. We do a fishing fashion show at lunchtime.
Yeah.
There's fabrics that are better for fishing, and then, like, you can get them really messed up, and they come clean in the washing machine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the microfibers and things like that. And then we have, like, Harbor Financial Services. He talks to the ladies about, you know, how to save up for their boat. And then Eagle Claw for hooks, and we do a lot of, like, circle hooks. And, I mean, there's more. There's West Marine, Bob's Machine. They make jack plates, which lifts your whole engine up. So if you're in a smaller boat, and you get stuck in skinny water, you just hit a button and your entire outboard lifts up to keep you out of trouble.
You know, you taught me a lot today because I didn't, you know, I just thought it was just a fishing trip. But as I'm going through your page, that's why I was asking about sponsorship because I have never seen such a huge list of sponsorship that you've been involved in and that are involved now. And
they're educational, you know what I mean? Because you feel a little sometimes intimidated, like if you're buying a boat, it's nice to know, like, what are the parts of the boat that I need? You know, if I want to go fishing, what's my checklist?
Yeah.
You know, and it's good to see how these products work so you can decide, well, this is for me or I like this, but I don't need that, but I need that.
Mm-hmm.
But having been a boat owner for several years, obviously co-owned with my ex-boyfriend, I cannot even imagine Betty and Tanya.
Yeah.
If I had to do that on my own.
No, I'm not that motivated.
I can't even imagine, so I'm so glad that you're doing this, because just even backing that boat to the water, especially, like, pulling it up, especially if you've been fishing all day, you're exhausted, you know. It was only, like, a two-person operation. One type of person had to spot and rinsing the boat, and then, you know, it was a big pit, kind of. I mean, but it was like our baby, so we took really good care of it. We had a 16-foot Hughes Bonefisher, and with the polling platform and all that. And that was quite a piece of work to own a boat, and you really have to be very responsible and make sure you don't run aground and do all those things to protect the environment as well as the boat and yourself. Yeah, when you brought up a good thing too, I'll go back to the boat. There's a lot of parts that you need to learn, you know, such as like the pumps. You know, if you take a wave on and you don't, and your pump goes out and you don't know what to do, you know, you could be in big trouble. But then that's why we also have Boat US. So if you're really big trouble, then you can call Boat US to come get you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then getting back to conservation, that's what the FWC is involved in. You know, that is something that, you know, people need to learn about. Because we get people that come in and they see ESPN, they think, oh, fishing, you put your line in and they pull the fish out. You keep doing that till your box is full. So we teach, you know, why you shouldn't necessarily, you know, come back with tons of fish, you know, to go back again, you know, and so you can eat them fresh next time. And then, you know, what kind of things you shouldn't throw overboard and what are the impacts, you know, if that happens. And then also one great thing the FWC shows is how to get the fish off the hook without touching it by using dehookers. It's better for the fish and your hands don't get all gooey and it's just one little easy snap.
There's actually a tool that you can get to do that?
Oh, yeah, and it's very simple. Looks like a coat hanger with a bend on the end.
Uh-huh.
You slide that down the line, and then you slide it to the hook, and you turn that hook upside down, and you just give it a shake, and the fish falls off most of the time.
Oh, wow, I want to see that.
You've got to shake it a few times.
If you already filed the barb down, it would make it even easier.
That's another thing that they talk about, yeah.
I felt bad for the fish, even though we were very good about it. Like we only kept what we were going to eat that day, and we were very conscious about the catch and release and the size limits, and because you want to go back and you want to be able to fish more and you want to be able to enjoy the environment and make sure that it's healthy.
Right, and you know, what's the point of, you know, releasing them, or if they're undersized or something like that, if they don't have chances of survival, what's the point? So, you know, that's another thing that I show is, like, you know, how long can you keep a fish out of the water, for instance? Should you bring it out of the water for a photo? You really shouldn't do that. But, and then how to handle that fish so the slime doesn't come off, because they need that slime on their body to protect them from parasites and bacteria.
Yeah, and then this point, and if you're wearing the sunscreen, it's going to go all over the fish, and you're getting your bacteria on the fish.
Right, and what's nice is they're there to answer the questions. So, and they stay all afternoon, like, after lunch on Saturday, we have these skill stations, but we also have tables too, where you can go and talk to the speakers, ask them questions one-on-one that you might have been maybe a little bit shy to ask in the class.
I love this. This is great. You know, because when you think about it, you think of just go fishing and that's it, you know, with a bunch of women. But you have, it is a university. I mean, I'm on your site and I found this very interesting. And also you also do some donation too, right? As far as donating to a nonprofit.
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
I see that you do donate some of your proceeds to a nonprofit.
Oh, yeah. You know, what we do, we're not really a fund set up. We don't really bring in a lot to be a fundraising organization.
Mm-hmm.
But the donations help us help other groups by, you know, we contribute to other people's fundraisers. So mm-hmm. You'll see maybe a certificate for Ladies Let's Go Fishing. And we do quite a bit of that. And that helps those people raise money for their cause.
Mm-hmm.
And we also cross-promote to whether it's a marine organization, a fishing organization, you know, something for kids, breast cancer. Most recently, we've been working with a message for Molly for ovarian mm-hmm. cancer, and also the Florida Breast Cancer Foundation.
Well, and also I noticed you have different chapters. Can you tell us a little bit more about the chapters itself?
Yeah, that's something we are really getting ready to put a big launch on.
Uh-huh.
The chapters are kind of like, you know, when the band is come and gone, what do people do?
Yeah.
So we started a pilot program to see if ladies would like to get together and network and, like, meet monthly and plan fishing trips together. And that did work really well. So what we're going to do now is launch a program where we're going to handle a lot of the work for them as far as, you know, we'll give them a website, you know, a way to organize, coach them mm-hmm. through it, and set up chapters all over the country. And then there are people, like I've got a lady from Ohio, maybe she doesn't have a chapter in her area, but if she joins, she can plan maybe a vacation around going to a chapter meeting in North Carolina or Florida mm-hmm. or California and meet some ladies all across the country who like to fish.
See, I think that's neat.
Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun. And then I also started something else, too, because in between seminars, we don't have much coming in here, mm-hmm. and it's a coupon website. It's like Groupon
yeah.
for fishing and boating stuff, and it's called fishons.com, uh-huh. and we're getting ready to launch that. Sometime this fall, and the proceeds of that will also help Ladies Let's Go Fishing continue to improve, and also there will be some other charities involved in that.
So in 1997, when you founded this, did you think that this is going to grow this big?
No, I'm kind of, I'm an innovator, and I come uh-huh. up with a lot of crazy ideas, this being one of them. And I went to the big trade show in Las Vegas to talk to people about it when I first started it,
uh-huh.
and they laughed at me. Oh. I had people say, women, fish, you know, I was like, yeah. And who would believe, you know, this many years, you know, there'd be like 6,000 ladies out there that have, some of them have taken a left turn and have just put their lives into fishing, wrapped their social lives around fishing, made friends with new fishing buddies and a whole new, you know, network of people to hang out with.
I think, you know what, good for you, and I bet they're laughing. They're not laughing now, are they?
Oh, no, there's been a lot of people. You should see what happened.
They're always begging you for sponsorship.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that have gotten into the ladies fishing industry. You'll mm-hmm. see, there's lots of people making shirts, pink rods, you know. Yeah, sometimes ladies like pink rods, so they know which one is theirs, oh. and they're cute. And there's all kinds of things there for ladies. And also, another thing we've paid attention to is the social aspect of fishing. Because fishing is different than other sports, like, well, you know, soccer or whatever. You're sitting in the audience and you're watching other people perform, and you're not really talking much. Fishing is like you're encapsulated on a boat with people, and it's really time, you know, you have downtime to get to know people, and, you know, there's a social element there that a lot of people don't really think about, you know, and when you catch a big fish, you have a memory with those friends that, you know, you'll never forget. You know, when you're old, you'll still be talking to people, remember when I caught that shark, oh my goodness, how big it was, you know, and that's just something that fishing brings to people.
I mean, and now with going into the 21st century, I mean, women are one of the most prominent, and they're saying that in the 21st century, it's going to be the century of women. So.
Oh, that's for sure.
Yeah, so this must be exciting for you, because you started this not really, you know, doing this with what you believe in as your passion, and a lot of men and women didn't believe in you, but now here you are today. And I'm very excited that you are on the show, because it's like the vision that you have is coming true, but it's going to get bigger as far as the 21st century is concerned. Because women, this is what women like to do these days now. You know, we like to be able, it is nice to have everything, like, you know, have a home, have a career and everything. But a lot of women now, they come to realize that they need to have their own group of women, or, you know, their own fun together. And why not fishing? Men do it.
Right. Well, and it gives them a goal, and, it's also a good stress relief. I'm sorry, somebody's trying to call me, but I'll keep talking. Like when you're out there on the water, you're like focused mm-hmm. on looking for fish and catching the fish, and you kind of forget about all the emails that are piling up and, you know, my to-do list that I didn't get done, and, you know, it just sort of takes the stress away from your stomach, and it just exuberates you, you know, out in the water, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Even if it's rainy or whatever, you still have something to talk about.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that. I think one of the reasons that I fell in love with fishing, besides it being like something that I, you know, my dad used to take us hand line fishing from the bridge and that kind of thing. But it's because it makes you a steward of the environment, and it really puts you into nature. For me, it was meditative to go to the Everglades down to Flamingo at 4 a.m. to be there when the sun was rising. And if I happened to catch a fish, great.
Mm-hmm.
And we always did it, at least with a darn catfish or something.
But yeah, I don't care what I catch, as long as
the experience. Yeah, the experience of being in this primeval backcountry world is something that I miss, and that's one reason I want to get back into it, is because it's such a special, unique thing to Florida.
everything from Florida Bay, from the Keys to the southern Everglades and the 10,000 islands, and all of that back there is so incredibly beautiful that, and it's, but we need to preserve that. I'm very serious about that, you know. None of this talk about oil drilling down there or, because that's really what it all comes down to. And like you said, it's meditative. Especially if you're on a boat with, you know, out on shore and it's like six people, it's a little more social, but it can also be kind of solitary in a good way.
Oh yeah.
If you're into that, it's calming, and peaceful.
Well, I think there's something instinctive in all of us, you know, because basically, you know, in the history of the world, you know, men were the hunters and women were the gatherers.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a little bit of hunter in the women. And it's, you know, going after a goal and accomplishing it.
Yes.
So, you know, to me, that's something that, you know, fishing brings to your mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I remember going fishing for, like, waiting for bonefish or something that was a little more predatory. Where actually you've got your polarizer glasses on and you're looking for shadows and shapes under the water and you're casting to that. But you're right. You forget about the emails. You forget about anything and you're just focused on the task. And that, for me, it's like yoga.
There's a lot of laughs too. A lot of funny things happen, you know, when you're fishing.
But earlier you mentioned, well, just something curious, because I know we only have about 10 minutes, but I remember, like, reading Florida Fortune magazine, and there was always a picture of a girl with a big fish wearing a bikini. Now, the trick is, when you're out there on the water a lot, you have to protect your skin. Are there any manufacturers of fishing clothes now, you know, with those microfiber fabrics that are breathable and that cater to a woman, or do you still have to go buy Kai clothes?
Oh no, there's many more. I go to the ICAST show every year, and you wouldn't believe the development in women's fishing fashions.
Okay, good.
Now there still are the shirts that look like men's shirts, but smaller. But there's, matter of fact, we have our own clothing line, because I pick what I like the best, you know, and then I put a logo and slogan. We just did a fishing shirt design contest on our Facebook. Anyways, I got some shirts that look like a jersey. And I just tried it out. I was fishing with the Florida chapter down in the Keys a few weekends ago. And if it looks like it would feel hot, I said, I'm going to try this shirt because it's long-sleeved. And I tell you what, it was the coolest shirt. I was cooler wearing that than if I were wearing a tank top. And that's, you know, that's the breathable nylon. Cotton absorbs moisture. And then, you know, but there's the micro nylon fibers that, you know, clean very easily. And a lot of shirts that have, like, vents, you know, to get
mesh
fishing. And then they have zip-in, zip-off vents, too. So, you know, when you're cold, you kind of zip it up. And when it's hot, you can zip them down and let your body breathe. And then there's the zip-off pants. And what I found now is, like, Old Harbor Outfitters is coming out with zip-off stretch pants. So it's the same kind of fabric, but you can move in it, you know, and it doesn't feel tight or anything like that. And so you can zip off the pants and make them shorts. So you go out in the morning, you've got your pants on, then it gets hot. So where are you going to change? Well, you just zip it off, there you have shorts. Then you're fishing till evening, starts getting cold or it's rainy, you zip them back on.
Or you leave them on if you want, because it's so, you can get wet, you know, what if you... water splashes into the boat, or
it dries off right away. And then there's people that make, you know, the hats with the shades on the side.
Wow.
And then there's some, I don't know what they're called, just face protectors that, you know, you see the guys a lot, they put over their kind of over their mouth. They look like bandits wearing them. I've tried those before.
Those fishing guys who cover themselves up, they look like they're wearing burqas, you know, and everything is covered. But who can blame them? They're out every day.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of them don't want to get sticky with sunscreen. But a lot of these sunscreens are really great. You know, they dry, I think Frog has one that, you know, it dries and you're not, like, slimy all day. And then there's Ocean Potion. There's, like, smells, like, really good. And a lot of developments in sunscreens.
You can have all some of this stuff down there.
Yeah, that's why it's nice to have these sponsors and donors, you know, because they want to get their product in the ladies' hands. You know, we love trying them out.
I'm definitely interested in seeing the clothes and also the sunscreen because I like to walk and be outside, but I'm very fair skinned and I don't want to get burned. So even if you're not fishing, it's good to have clothes like this. You know, if I want to go walk in prime cancer hours, I can still do it. And not have to wait till 6 o'clock to go outside. So.
Right. Well,
you don't just use them for fishing. I mean, you can use them for other outdoor activities.
For sure. Yeah. Anywhere, any place you're active.
This is great. I love it because, you know, I didn't realize some of the things you told us, Betty. I didn't even realize that that was going on today or that we have this available to us, especially the clothing. Mm-hmm.
Well, so Tony, do you have any more questions?
Well, can you give us the cost breakdown for the seminar?
Is the class full?
Is the class full and how much would it be?
Oh, okay. No, we have plenty of space in the class. We have 3 sport fishing boats already filled up. Oh. And we just keep taking registrations and booking. So now we probably have another 30 spots available. And we've got a month left. We have like an early entry and that helps us get organized so we don't have everybody like, you know, clobbering us the last minute. That's October 28th and the early entry is $115. And then after that from October 28th to, November 11th, it's $135. And we have easy registration online and we'll also take registrations by the telephone. And, should I just say our website or anything?
Yes,
like that?
Please, all that.
Of course. Okay, yeah, it's ladiesletsgofishing.com. And our phone number's on it, but it's 954-475-9068. Our email is info@ladiesletsgofishing.com. And also you might see we're up for some awards. Did I talk about that yet?
No.
No, please do.
Yes, please.
Yeah, Sport Fishing Magazine has honored me with I'm in a competition that's called Making a Difference. They're looking for people that are making a difference in other people's lives or in the sport. And that is at sportfishingmag.com/makingadifference / And there are some other lady angler leaders up there as well. And I don't know how they're going to vote. I don't know. I think if people put comments, though, that may weigh in on that decision.
Well, we're going to have to help you.
Yeah, the other one was a really big one. They flew me up to Washington, D.C. and named me as America's Sport Person of the Year.
Oh,
yeah,
wonderful.
It was awesome. I got, like, there were senators there and congressmen. It was in the Senate building. It was written up in USA Today. It was pretty fantastic. We're pretty good with media. Like, actually, Inside Edition came to Isla Mulata a few years ago and did a 4-minute segment on the program.
That is great. Now, yeah, I'm on the Sports Fishing Magazine site, and you said that Making a Difference is the back.com.
Did you find it?
Yeah, so, no, I found the sportsfishingmagazine.com, so and I'm going to pull up Making a, because they don't have it on their front page. Which
I'll have to
should.
Talk to them about that. Yeah, I think you go / Making a Difference.
There you go. How you go?
Yeah, you'll see me in this big salmon that I caught when I was with my husband in Alaska.
Wow. This is great. Well, whatever we can do to help you promote it, because you should win.
Well, thank you. There are some other really awesome ladies who are also up for the competition, or up for nomination, I believe.
Yes,
they're all great people.
Well, I will definitely mention that in my blog post, Betty, so I can get people over to that page and see your awards page. If they could still vote for you.
I don't think they'll be giving the award out for quite some time, at least a few months.
But Betty, let me ask you something.
We have someone like you in our own backyard.
Yeah, we got to make you win.
And
you have to win.
And we should come out and you know, take advantage of that. And if they're new to fishing, they should not be scared and kind of just dive into it and learn and at least try it out.
Yeah, I mean, it's made for people who don't have a clue about fishing but want to fish. You don't have to know anything. You don't have to bring anything. But if you already are fishing, but things happen on the boat and you want to get better or learn some more skills, that's why we have the advanced. I have ladies that have taken this seminar maybe 10 times because every guide says something different at every seminar. I learn something at each one.
Well, Betty, I'm looking at your picture here on sportingfishingmagazine.com, and I did not know you were, you were most recently known as that on Boat US magazine, named Ballman one of the top women in American boating.
Yeah,
very impressive.
That was an incredible honor as well. So I've kind of pioneered. I was the pioneer, or the first person that really did something big for women in the industry.
That is incredible.
So it's nice that they took note of that, isn't it?
No, that's incredible. Are you kidding? This is, and also I want to know: did you catch that fish? That fish.
Oh yeah!
Wow.
That was good eating too. That was a king salmon, and it's probably one of the biggest salmon that had been caught in that area for quite some time.
Holy! And where did you catch this fish at? This like it's as big as you are.
Yeah.
I'm not in front of my computer, but was that a spin cast?
Using a spinning rod and salmon eggs for bait.
Oh wow!
Salmon eggs for bait, and that was on I can't remember the name of the river. It's south of Anchorage, near the Kasilof River. But the name escapes me right now. I'm sorry. I'm sure as soon as I hang up, I'll remember it.
That's incredible. I'm very impressed with you.
Well, I try to do my best. You know, it's kind of nice to have a business where you can build confidence in others and give people something to believe in.
Yeah, because just looking at that's fantastic that you did that. Well, the reason I'm all about this because I promote women's issues tremendously, and also I'm on the National Board for Women in Communications. We've been around since 1909. We're like one of the first original women's group who fought women's suffrage. So, and I'm the past president of South Florida group. Can I get you back on Social Chats on like a Monday? Because on Monday, Social Chats has Social Chats AWC South Florida, and that's where I have the president of the South Florida chapter on as my co-host. So we'd like to get you on right before your event and promote it, too, within our members.
Oh, I'd love to do that. You know, it's kind of a good business story, too, you know, where you take an idea and wrap it into it. And, you know, that's my background. It's marketing and PR. You know, I've been involved with Women in Communications before. It's a great group.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Great piece of entrepreneurship.
Yeah, definitely.
Which happens to be about fishing, but it's a great case for that as well.
Right. Well, it's how marketing an event company can maybe create something that you like,
mm-hmm.
and use all those skills, you know, to find people like we did. You know, it's hard to find women who would like to fish. It is a big promotional job. I think 40% of what we do is all promotions and finding women who are in a situation like I am.
Well, this is definitely a niche. You know, as far as events are concerned, but this is one of the fastest growing because fishing is, and again, you know, Maria and I were talking about how it's such a great way to just relax and feel cleansed and relaxed, but also it's a great way to network and it's a great way to make new friends. And the fact that you're, the niche is about women, which is more exciting because, you know, women are always looking for something new and exciting, and especially in the 21st century, we're out. Not just to prove ourselves now, but we're out to do something different. And what you're offering is a fantastic opportunity for a lot of women to just, you know, to be able to actually, you know, especially single women, you want to meet some men, some fun men. Why not learn how to fish, too, while you're at it?
Yeah, I had one marriage result from Ladies Let's Go Fishing from a lady who met one of the guys who was helping us out.
Uh-huh.
And also the bonus is, you know, you can catch fish and bring it home. There's nothing better than fresh fish.
Yeah.
You know how old it is. You keep mm-hmm. it on ice. And you eat it the first or second days. It's fantastic.
And it's so healthy for you, too. But Betty, thank you so much.
I got to tell you just real quickly, like when I was dating actively a few years ago,
I would meet guys who would go fishing, and they would just tell me, oh, you know, you can't come with us because this is a guy's day out. Yeah. And I'm like, really? Okay, I'm not dating you anymore. So I'm waiting for the one who will take me fishing with him.
Yeah, I have a guy posting on my Facebook. He's in California. He's like, hey, I want to meet a lady who likes to fish. I told ladies, hey, you know, if not, just have fun fishing with them.
With that, you know what? That's another fun idea to do a singles fishing trip.
No, it's something that's definitely doable.
That's fantastic. Betty, thank you so much. I'm definitely going to get you on the calendar for Social Chats AWC South Florida. I'm going to talk to Donna Lawrence about it. She will love this. We would love to feature you. And again, thank you so much for coming on. And I learned so much. And Maria, this is exciting. You were right. Maria's been talking about it for a while now, actually.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to seeing her coming down and seeing her big fish that she brings in.
I'm looking forward to see her do it, too.
I really look forward to it as well. And this is not the end of the conversation. We're going to be talking, you know, on my blog and on this. And you have a Facebook page as well that everyone should follow?
Yeah, it's facebook.com/ladiesletsgofishing.
Yeah, so that more of the micro, you know, broadcasts will go on there. And can't wait till November. This is also going to be my birthday. So
yay.
That's a great way to celebrate your birthday.
Great way to turn
24. 22 twice,
Maria. Thank you,
Betty. Bye,
Betty. Thank you, and catch them up.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is fun, Maria. You are celebrating your birthday that weekend.
Yeah.
Wow. So who else is going with you? From our group.
Are we still
on the air? No. Yeah, we are. I'm gonna close it off.
I have a few girlfriends who are have expressed interest. I'm nudging them to register. One of them told me yesterday that she's definitely coming.
It's exciting. Oh my gosh.
So
that is exciting.
A few of my following down there.
Well, great. Well, you know what? We'll have to chat some more offline about this. I'm like, while I'm listening to her, I'm like researching her website, and I start pulling up some, you know, looking at some different things, and she is a pioneer of what she's doing, and that's exciting to have someone like her on the show. That's incredible, actually. But
I know. I'm very honored that she took the time to talk to us today, she's very
so down to earth.
You can see she's just...
She's so humble and so down to earth.
A day's work, but what she's done is amazing.
I know. That's what I love about her. She's so humble. She's so down to earth. I love women like her. So everyone have a great day. I will be back tomorrow with Sandra Lopez for Social Chats No Aging. And Maria, thank you so much for getting her on the show. And I'm going to research some more. I'm going to promote the link on Sports Fishing Magazine for her to win. Because she has to win.
South Florida behind
her. Yes, South Florida. She has a win. So on that note, you guys have a great day. And Maria, I'll chat with you later. Bye.
All right. Take care, Tanya. Bye-bye.